May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 378. A beggar poor at mercy's door lies such a wretch as I. Thou knowest my need is great indeed. Lord, hear me when I cry. Hymn 378.
Thank you. three psalms that I would like us to read together this evening. Psalms 17, 65 and 90. And we'll read them in that order. So commencing then with Psalm 17. Hear the right, O Lord, attend unto my cry. Give ear unto my prayer that goeth not out of feigned lips. Let my sentence come forth from thy presence. Let thine eyes behold the things that are equal. Thou hast proved mine heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shalt find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. Hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. I have called upon thee, for thou wilt hear me, O God. Incline thine ear unto me, and hear my speech. Show thy marvellous loving kindness, O thou that savest by thy right hand them which put their trust in thee, from those that rise up against them. Keep me as the apple of the eye, hide me under the shadow of thy wings. From the wicked that oppress me, from my deadly enemies who compass me about. They are enclosed in their own fat, with their mouth they speak proudly. They have now compassed us in our steps. They have set their eyes bowing down to the earth. Like as a lion that is greedy of his prey, and as it were a young lion lurking in secret places. Arise, O Lord, disappoint him, cast him down, deliver my soul from the wicked, which is thy sword, from men which are thy hand, O Lord, from men of the world, which have their portion in this life, and whose belly thou fillest with thy hid treasure. They are full of children, and leave the rest of their substance to their babes. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. And if you would turn on to Psalm 65. Psalm 65. Praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Iniquities prevail against me, as for our transgressions thou shalt purge them away. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest, and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. By terrible things in righteousness wilt thou answer us, O God of our salvation, who art the confidence of all the ends of the earth, and of them that are afar off upon the sea. Which by his strength setteth fast the mountains, being girded with power, which stilleth the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves, and the tumult of the people. They also that dwell in the uttermost parts are afraid at thy tokens. Thou makest the outgoings of the morning and evening to rejoice. Thou visitest the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest it with the river of God, which is full of water. Thou preparest them corn when thou hast so provided for it. Thou waterest the ridges thereof abundantly. Thou settlest the furrows thereof. Thou makest it soft with showers. Thou blessest the springing thereof. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy paths drop fatness. They drop upon the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks, the valleys also are covered over with corn. They shout for joy, they also sing. And then lastly, we turn to Psalm 90. Psalm 90. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction, and sayest, Return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday, when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood, they are as asleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up, in the morning it flourisheth and groweth up, in the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins, in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years and 10, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labour and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long, and let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. Amen. God bless to us those portions of his holy word and help us each to pray. Dear Lord, once more in thy mercy and thy continuing goodness, we are spared to gather again in thy house. Lord, thou seest how we have come. Lord, we do pray that though we do the right thing in coming together, Lord, we do pray that it may not just be the outward appearance that is right, Lord, that we might gather only from tradition and out of our custom, because we might feel some pang of conscience if we didn't come, or questions might be asked as to where we were. Lord, may there be more than these things in our hearts as we come before Thee. Lord, it is truly a privilege that we are able to come in this way and meet together and have fellowship one with another. Lord, we do pray that there might be that fellowship with Thee in our hearts. Lord, Thy promise is that where two or three gather in Thy name, there Thou wilt be in the midst. And Lord, in this public service, there is that proclamation, as it were, that we have gathered together in Thy name. And we must therefore believe that Thou art here. Thy presence is here amongst us. Lord, how solemn if we should come and go without a realization of that, without some revelation of Thyself to our hearts. If we should be, as it were, in Thy presence and not know it. Oh Lord, we do pray that as it was with Jacob, when he was in that place that he afterward named Bethel, the house of God, though it was not a building, though it was but the open air, but he realized Thy presence. He did not know it when he lay down to sleep, but he had that revelation that Thou wast indeed with him, especially in his case, that a revelation that Thou art a prayer hearing and answering God. So Lord, as we come together, may this be truly the house of God to us this evening. That though we might have gathered here for some friends hundreds and hundreds of times perhaps, yet Lord, that there might be some fresh anointing by Thy power, that we might be able to go on our way rejoicing, knowing that we have been with Thee. Oh Lord, we do pray that if any have come truly seeking Thee, those who have come, as it were, on their knees in their petitions before Thee, that Thou wilt hear those cries. Oh Lord, perhaps silently they have prayed for some particular blessing. Oh Lord, if that is right in Thy sight, may it be a time when they may receive that which they have asked for. Oh Lord, do we read in Thy word, no good thing wilt Thou withhold from them that fear Thee. Oh Lord, we pray then that we might gather in the fear of God, that though we that we might come with reverence and respect, knowing that we are coming to a holy and a perfect God, one who cannot look upon sin with any allowance, cannot say even as it were to the smallest of our sin that it does not matter. Oh Lord, do impress upon our hearts that it does matter, that every sin is a great matter, that by our sin we deserve the outpouring of Thy wrath. And Lord, we cannot stand before Thine anger. Oh, we do pray that we might know that work of conviction through the Holy Spirit in our heart, that we might come in the knowledge, not just because we've been taught it and learned it in our head, but the knowledge in our heart that we come as sinners, that we come in the spirit that we have sung of. Oh Lord, has that come truly from our heart? Have we sung that because it is our case, because it is our prayer? Oh Lord, we do ask then that we might come in all our need, thankful once again that Thy gospel is for the poor and the needy. It is for the sick and not the healthy, for the sinners and not the self-righteous, that thou didst come. Oh Lord, the love and the mercy that we see in that, we thank and praise thee for it once again. Oh, may Christ indeed be lifted up on high in our thoughts and in our worship together this evening. We might acknowledge all that thou hast done. Lord, may it be truly known and felt and declared by us that it was for us. Oh, Lord, do keep us from being satisfied with a knowledge that thou didst come for sinners, though that is true. But, oh Lord, may we know and have that desire to know that it was for me. Oh Lord, the psalmist says, as we often have to pray, say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Oh Lord, we look to no one else, to no other power, not to ourselves, not to anything that we can do or have done. Lord, we see very much that there is no hope in those things, but we come dependent upon thee, what thou hast done. And Lord, we plead that precious blood of Christ. And so, Lord, we do ask that thou wilt look down in mercy upon each one. If any have not gathered in that spirit, have not any hunger and thirst for thee, oh Lord, could it please thee to begin such a work even this evening? Lord, that those that sit in darkness might be brought out into the light, that great light might shine upon their heart, that it might reveal to them how they are in thy sight. Oh Lord, that we might be given that grace of repentance over our sin. Lord, we do pray that if any have come with some special burden, some particular case and a problem perhaps in their lives, that Lord, thou wilt hear and answer that petition. Lord, we thank thee that thou dost rule over all aspects of our life, in every circumstance, that thou art in control. Lord, we have considered this afternoon thy control of the storm, but Lord, thou art in control of every situation. Lord, do help us to realise that, strengthen our faith when we may be tempted that it is otherwise. Lord, we know from thy word thou wilt not forsake nor leave thy people. Thou knowest also the many temptations that come into our heart. Oh Lord, do cast them out. Give strength to endure those things. May we come forth like Job as gold. Lord, we do pray then that each one might have some portion that thou seest is needful in their case, that it may be different in different souls. Oh Lord, we no doubt are not identical in our experiences, but Lord, do give that which is needful. It is thy promise. My God shall supply all your need. Oh Lord, do fulfil thine own word, we do pray. If we need reproof and correction, do grant that to us. Make us see that it is in love that thou dost correct thy people. And Lord, may we be submissive to thy will, if that is not, as it were, our will. If we desire something else, then Lord, do give that grace to fall before thee, knowing that thy way is the right way. Oh Lord, if it was left to us, how often we should go astray. Lord, do lead us on in the way of thy choosing. Lord, we do pray that those that need encouragement and lifting up might find their strength in thee, might go on their way rejoicing and strengthened in their souls. Oh Lord, we do pray with thy disciples, increase our faith. Oh, how those questions that thou didst ask at the time of that storm, we find so hard to answer. Where is your faith? How is it that ye are so fearful? Lord, we have no reason to be fearful, for thou art with thy people forever. Oh, do strengthen our faith and to believe these things, to believe that they apply to us. Lord, if any come with that question in their heart, am I one of those upright souls, one of those who believe in God? Oh, may there be that sweet confirmation, Lord, that thou wilt speak to them. Lord, we have a desire that we should help and encourage one another, but really that satisfaction of that need can only come from thee. Lord, do speak and do grant that we shall hear thy voice and recognize it and know it, that it is the Lord that speaks to us. Lord, do come with that power in thy voice. Lord, whatever may be our case, may that be met by thee this night. We think of those who are unable to come again to thy house, having the care of the young, or it may be the elderly or the sick. Lord, do remember them. If any amongst them have a real desire that they should be here, would have been if they could. Oh Lord, may they not suffer any lack through not being here, for thou art in all places. Do graciously visit them where they are and bring that supply to their soul also, we do pray. Lord, we do pray again for our country. We have greatly forsaken thy way. We have ignored thy word and its teaching and counsel. Lord, we have thought that the wisdom of man is greater than the wisdom of God. Oh, forgive us these awful sins, we pray. Forgive that blasphemy of the pride of man's heart. Oh, we pray, Lord, that in that wrath that we so deserve, that thou wilt remember mercy, that there may yet be a pouring out of thy blessing upon this country, that many might be called by thy grace to come and fill the places of worship, come and praise thee from their hearts for what thou hast made known to them. Oh Lord, we do pray that we might see thy work, that we might see that thou art arising for the deliverance of Zion. Oh Lord, we do pray that many might know thee. Many, Lord, we may have in our hearts individuals and those that we know, perhaps some in our families that seem not to know thee, seem not to have any desire for thee. Oh Lord, we do pray that they may be taught by thee, that they may be like those wandering sheep whom the good shepherd will go after, search for until he find them and bring them back. Oh Lord, do work, we do pray. We do ask that thou wilt preserve our leaders, our queen and others who have roles of authority and prominence in the land, that they might be spared. Keep them safe, O Lord, from assassinations and these sudden attacks that we hear more and more of, oh Lord, as these things seem to come closer, as it were, to ourselves. We do pray that thou wilt watch over and preserve in peace our leaders. Do give them wisdom in how to deal with all these matters, that they might do so rightly. Lord, as we prayed this morning, that there might be amongst them those that fear thy name, who shall desire to do that which is right, and for the honour and glory of thy holy name. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt remember thy people throughout the earth. Think of those in parts of the earth where there is so much trouble, where these events are almost a daily occurrence. Oh Lord, we are shocked and by them happening in our own land. But there are many places when there is no shock, as it were. They are almost expected. They are so frequent. Lord, we do pray for those that have to endure these things, and especially thy people amongst them. Lord, may they know that they are safe in thy hand, that nothing can hurt them except by thy will. Oh Lord, that nothing can take their soul out of thy hand. Oh Lord, that their faith might be strong. Help them, Lord, to pray for their enemies. We have thought, Lord, what a difficult thing this is for us, and we are not even faced with them directly. And, oh Lord, thy word tells us that we must pray for such. So, Lord, we would try to do so. We ask for faith in our heart to really pray in a right spirit. Lord, we might say the words, but do our hearts really go with them? That thou wilt yet have mercy and overturn such devices and plots as would bring destruction. Lord, that their souls might be taught that better way, that way that leads unto thee. Oh Lord, we know that there is but one way. Thou didst say here on earth, I am the way. Oh Lord, may such souls be brought to know thee, if it may be thy will. Oh Lord, how we read those times in thy word, and thou didst appear for thy people, and the other nations of the earth had to take notice of thy work. Oh Lord, may it be so once again. We do pray. We know that thy power is not diminished, it is not weakened over the years. Lord, we do pray for that appearing of the Lord God Almighty. And so, O Lord, as we continue through this service, we do pray for thy help and thy presence. We read that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Lord, it is liberty that we seek, liberty in thought and word, liberty in hearing. Lord, those captive souls, those who are bound by sin, held fast in the dungeon, as it were, that there might be liberty proclaimed for such a one. Loose him or her and let him go. Oh Lord, may thy gospel sound in our hearts this night with no uncertain sound. Now we read that if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself for the battle? Lord, we need thy help. We need thee graciously, Lord, to supply that need, that it might be truly a message from God that we receive this evening. So, Lord, do come and make up in thy giving where we fail in our asking. Any feel left out of our prayer, Lord, may they know that thou dost hear their cry. It may only be, as it were, a groan, may not be something they can put into words, but Lord, do hear it and remember each for good. to pardon our many, many sins. Oh Lord, how we need a fountain that was open for sin and uncleanness, not as it were a few drips, but a whole gushing supply. Lord, our sin is so great. Do come and in thy mercy set us free, cleanse us from its guilt and power, we pray. We ask this and all things in the name and for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn 281. The Lord will happiness divine on contrite hearts bestow. Then tell me, gracious God, is mine a contrite heart or no? Hymn 281.
complete dependence upon the Lord for his very much needed help. I direct our thoughts again this evening to those words that you'll find in Psalm 37 and the latter part of verse 19. Psalm 37 and the latter part of verse 19. In the days of famine, they shall be satisfied. As we noticed this morning, the word they refers to the upright. And that hymn that we have just sung is very helpful, I think, in considering this. Are we amongst those upright ones? We certainly will not feel to be. There's no room for self-confidence here. This is not about those like the Pharisee who trust in themselves that they are righteous and despise others as well. They are not the upright that are spoken of here. But as we look this evening at some of the things in the scriptures that show us this satisfaction, this supply that the Lord gives to his people, it is my prayer that those that may be doubtful, those that may have that question, is mine a contrite heart or no, that they may have an answer as we compare our experience, as it were, to that of those in the scriptures. I believe in that sense that all experience is found in the Bible. I know that the details of our circumstances may be different. We live in a different age, obviously, but the substance of all that we need to know is here in the Word of God. And it is important, I've not thought really to dwell on this, but it is important to remember that this Bible is the Word of God. It's sometimes spoken of that it contains the Word of God. But that really is to imply that there are parts of it that are not the Word of God. And we firmly believe and trust that it is the Word of God from cover to cover, not for us to split out a part and say, well, that doesn't apply to us, or that's out of date, and as some would, that the Apostle Paul hadn't experienced what we do, and therefore we can ignore his teaching. No, it is the Word of God. God is never out of date. God is unchanging. We read, didn't we, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Now, really, as these thoughts have come into my mind, I hope we shall be able to see and to trace the experience of the child of God in the way that the Lord works. Of course, that will be different, it will be unique in every individual case, but the principles that we might see those in this word tonight. They, in the days of famine, we spoke of that spiritual famine, that realization that even the good things, and there are many of them, but even those good things in this life cannot satisfy the need of our soul. They, in the days of famine, they shall be satisfied. We read in the book of Proverbs, I felt this is really the place to begin, and it really fits in so well with that hymn. We read there in chapter 19 and verse 23, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life. He that hath it shall abide satisfied. The one who has the fear of the Lord in their heart shall abide satisfied. It's very wonderful, isn't it? Abiding doesn't speak of, as it were, a one-off experience, but something that remains, something that dwells. And that is so. When we have the fear of the Lord in our heart, I think there are two senses that we could understand that in. Firstly, those that have the fear of the Lord, where the Holy Spirit has begun that work of grace in their heart, where they are born again, then this satisfaction will ever abide with them. God does not begin a work and then, as it were, change his mind and depart from that person. Where he has begun a work of grace, he will go on to complete it, to fulfill it. So in that sense, there is an abiding. But also in this sense, in our experience of it, even after a call by grace, we do not always live, as it were, in the fear of the Lord, do we? Sometimes sin rises up in our heart and we backslide. We turn away. We cease to do that which is right and proper. And then we shall not be satisfied, as it were. But whilst that fear of the Lord is in operation or in practice, if I can put it in that way, in our heart, then we abide satisfied by the things of God. Well, what is it then to fear, to have the fear of the Lord? It is not simply fear in the sense of being terrified of something awful. Perhaps especially as children, we may have known such fears. Perhaps only in the things that we've imagined rather than something that really is there. But we've known what it is to have a fear in that sense. But it is not to be confused with the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is more really, perhaps we could say, respect. It is a loving respect toward God. The prayer that the Lord taught the disciples began, didn't it, with that statement, hallowed be thy name. And in that word, hallowed, made holy, respected, honoured, that is very closely linked with the fear of the Lord. How do we view the Lord? Is it with respect? Is it with reverence? Is it with love? The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord also, I believe, will have this in it, that there will be that realization in our heart that we are a sinner. And in that sense, I want to be careful here, but there will be a fear of the justice of God. When we realise by our sin what we deserve, what we merit, it is the eternal wrath of God. What we deserve because we have rebelled against him is that experience that we touched upon in Psalm 73, to be utterly consumed with terrors. That is what hell is. And there will be that realisation in the heart that is what we deserve. Oh, the conviction of sin, we often call it, not, as it were, a guilty conscience. I suppose everyone has a conscience, as it were, of some sort that differentiates between right and wrong to some extent. But it is much more than that, isn't it? It's not even just to say that we have sinned. There are many characters in the Bible who said that they had sinned, but very clearly they did not have the fear of God in their heart. Saul, King Saul, said, I have sinned. But it seems quite evident by his life and his death that he did not really fear God. Balaam said, I have sinned. But he died fighting against God and against God's people. Judas Iscariot, perhaps most solemnly of all, one who had known the Lord very well, had spent much time in the company of the Lord. He said, I have sinned. But there was no fear of God in his heart. So it goes beyond the confession purely with our mouth, but that which is in our hearts, that real understanding, like the I feel I must keep referring back to things we said this morning. I hope not a vain repetition, but to illustrate the point, like that prodigal son, I have sinned against heaven. David knew that as well, didn't he? You find when Nathan came with his a parable to David after he had committed adultery with Bathsheba, David said, I have sinned against the Lord. Oh, that's what really troubled him most of all, wasn't it? Yes, he'd sinned against Bathsheba, he'd sinned against Uriah, sinned against the people over which he was king. I'm sure he felt guilty over that. But the great thing is, I have sinned against the Lord. Oh, do you know that aspect of the fear of the Lord? Do you know that you are a sinner before God? Oh, this is a great thing. There can be no confession of sin and no repentance over sin until we really know that we are a sinner. This is often, really, if not always, where the Lord begins that work, isn't it? To bring home to us what we already are in his sight. There's no change, as it were, but it's a realization or revelation to us, isn't it? Something we did not know or understand before now comes home to us. I am this sinner. That's how the publican was, in contrast to that Pharisee, wasn't it? God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I wasn't interested, as the Pharisee was, in everybody else's life. He wasn't picking fault with the lives of everyone else, as the Pharisee did. It's about me. It's what's in my heart. I am this sinner. I am the one in need of mercy. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life. He that hath it shall abide satisfied. Now, where that work of grace is begun in the soul, it will create a longing, a desire for the things of God. So far as I know, most, if not all of us, have been brought up, well, most of you, to attend this chapel, myself elsewhere, but we've been brought up to these things. But I'm sure we can look back and say, well, there was once a time when I had no longing for them. I had no real hunger or thirst to hear the word of God. Spiritual things were not a concern to me. I might have gone along with it. The outward appearance again might have been satisfied. But now, as the Lord begins that work in our heart, now there is a longing. Oh, are there those here that feel that desire? Feel, yes, the things of this world, they're empty, they're vain, there's a famine in those. Those things can't supply my need anymore. Perhaps once they did, in that limitation of your need, but now you have a need they can't fill. Well, the promise of God in that Psalm 107, is this: he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. That psalm, very briefly, it contains four particular experiences of the redeemed of the Lord, and how in their trouble they cry unto God and he delivers them. If you go back to the trouble that these particular redeemed of the Lord were in, it was this: hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Not their body. This was not a natural famine, as it were, in that sense. It was their soul that fainted. And he satisfied them. He provided what they needed. Oh, is there a longing soul? The Lord has this promise. He satisfieth the longing soul. He filleth. Notice that. Really, I suppose it's linked to the word satisfy, isn't it? If we are satisfied, we have sufficient. We are filled with something. There's not any sense of a partial blessing here. It is a full blessing. He filleth the hungry soul with goodness. I think I mentioned this morning, it's very often a prayer that I do pray, that as we think of that miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, that they did all eat and were filled. It's amazing, isn't it, that they all ate. You and I couldn't have provided food for 5,000 people, beginning only with a few loaves and a few fishes, could we? But not only, it doesn't just say they all ate, that would have been a miracle, but they were all filled. There wasn't any need for anything else. They were satisfied. Oh, it's a wonderful blessing if we leave the house of God filled, isn't it? Satisfied. He filleth the hungry soul with goodness. That, if we may use hunger and thirst interchangeably, as it were, that woman at the well of Sychar. Oh, she knew all about natural thirst, didn't she? She lived in a climate where they were used to those things, and the provision of water was very important to them. But how Jesus said, "Oh, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." Oh, again, later on, he cried at the end of that great day of the feast, didn't he? "He that is athirst, come unto me and drink." Oh, he satisfies them. He fills them. Now, we may feel this also, and perhaps you can trace this in God's dealings with your soul, that generally, I must be clear here, it is not exclusively so, but generally the way that the Lord provides the needs of his people is through the services of his house. Now, we must be clear, God is able to work in any place, at any time, in any way. And perhaps we can look back on times when we've been out in the field or in the office or in the classroom or at home or wherever it is, and God has drawn near and has greatly blessed us and satisfied our longing for his presence, for his blessing. But generally, it is in his house. It's one of many reasons why we are not to neglect the assembling of ourselves together. We read in Psalm 65, didn't we? Oh, this speaks of the Lord's work in the heart, doesn't it? Blessed is the man whom thou choosest. This is God's choice, God's sovereign election is seen here. And then what he does to that one he has chosen and causes to approach unto thee. We spent a little while this morning with that thought of coming to the Lord in all our need, in all our felt unworthiness. So who God causes to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. That is, again, the house of God, really a reference in that sense to the temple. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. Oh, have there been times that you can look back to? I'm sure there are for some, when the goodness of the house of God has completely satisfied your soul. When the Lord has so abundantly blessed you, maybe through a hymn that has been sung, or through the reading of his word, through some aspect of the preaching of the word. But how you love the place, the house of God, the place where you have met with him, where he has poured out a blessing upon you. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house. Oh, it is a great favour to have those times in our memory, or perhaps even to, as it were, anticipate them. Perhaps you have not always felt it to be so, or perhaps never have felt it to be so. But pray on, pray on. As I say, this is the generally the appointed way that God will feed those hungry, thirsty souls. It is in his house. What does this place, this house of God, it may be this physical place, but the house of God, what does that mean to you? Does it mean, I remember a few years ago at the Sunday school, we considered the different names that are given to chapels. I don't know if any of you remember that, but there are all sorts of names. You can go down the list in the magazine and see the different names that people have given to their place of worship. Bethel, of course, an obvious one, the house of God. Bethesda, some are named, the house of mercy. And all sorts of other names. Jireh is one, isn't it? The Lord will provide. And I think I probably would have said to you at the time, I've certainly thought it many times, I don't think any of the chapels on our list, but there are others of different denominations, called Bethlehem. That means the house of bread. I'm surprised there aren't more called that, really. When you think of Christ as the living bread, the bread of heaven, come down to satisfy the hunger of the souls of his people. Oh, but do you know if it's not actually called that, but has the house of God been a Bethlehem to you? It's fed your needs, supplied what you desire. Your longing soul has been filled through the ministry of his word. Oh, these are precious times indeed, aren't they? The word of God tells us, blessed is this man, blessed by God. Now, one of those things that especially this soul will be hungering for, the great desire, I would say, really, I think above all things, the desire will be for this, that which we read in Psalm 90. Oh, satisfy us early with thy mercy. Oh, if you are labouring under that sense that you are a sinner, your guilt is a heavy, a painful load, this will be the great longing, won't it, for your soul. Mercy, mercy. We've sung of it already, haven't we? Satisfy us early with thy mercy. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. This can't dwell upon that now, but there's so much in those words, isn't there? It's a personal word that we want God to say to us. That word, those words, I am, are the very name of God, really, aren't they? When Moses said, who shall I say has sent me? God said, say, I am, hath sent me. The Eternal One, the God who always exists. I am thy salvation. Well, it's one thing to believe that he is a saviour. It's another thing, and I say that won't, I say it reverently, respectfully, but that isn't satisfying, is it, just to know that he is a saviour. To know that other people are saved, it's a help, it's an encouragement, but it won't satisfy the longing soul. We need him to say it to us personally. Satisfy us early with thy mercy. There's no one else to whom we can go, is there, with this burden, with this need, with this longing. And notice this. We were just speaking at lunchtime, one thing that my father often used to say about looking well to our motives. Well, look at the motive of Moses as he prays in this Psalm 90. Why especially did he desire mercy? Well, of course, it would, words fail, I was going to say it would make him feel better. That's a very inadequate way of expressing it, but it would do him good, it would bless his soul. But above all, look at his motivation, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. His desire for mercy was that God's name would be honoured and glorified, that he would have something in his own heart, in his own experience, that would make him rejoice, that would make him praise God. This is what he so desired, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Is there a desire in your heart to know this so that God should be glorified, so that there would be reason to praise him in your heart? Oh, it's a wonderful thing. Again, I can only just mention this in passing. It's not our subject, but you think heaven above is the place of never-ending praise and honour. If we don't enjoy praising God, if that's not the desire of our heart to praise God here below, heaven wouldn't really mean anything, would it? Why would you want to get to a place where it will be all praise and honour if that's not of interest to your soul? But all the desire of this longing soul for their sin to be pardoned so that they might glorify God. Now, as the work of grace goes on in our heart, we must move more swiftly. But that blessing that was spoken of to Naphtali, one of the sons of Jacob, will be ours. In Deuteronomy 33, verse 23, this is a lovely blessing, isn't it? And of Naphtali he said, O Naphtali, satisfied with favour and full with the blessing of the Lord. What more could you want? You couldn't really, could you? That's why it is satisfied. There's no more, as it were, to be said. Our life crowned with favour, our souls full with the blessing of the Lord. If you're full It doesn't leave, not only is there not an emptiness left, as it were, but there's not room for anything else, is there? Often think of that word, be filled with the Spirit. Can we ever really say that that's true of us? There always seems to be room for something sinful, doesn't there? We're not filled with the Spirit as we should be. But here, full with the blessing of the Lord. No wonder he was satisfied. He had been so abundantly blessed by God. And that really, very briefly, it seemed to me that it takes us through the experience of this upright one, the soul called by grace in this life. But as we noticed this morning, that is not the end of the matter, is it? We must all die. That is appointed to us that we shall die. But what then? We thought of the end of the wicked, utterly consumed with terror. But we read in Psalm 17 something which touches upon this in the last verse. The psalmist David there has previously spoken of the men of the world, which have their portion in this life. It takes us back to where we started really this morning. Those who are never satisfied, even with the best, as it were, of this life. So, but in contrast to those, David then says, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. This, I believe David was looking forward, in the sense of anticipating his death. He would, as we sometimes say, fall asleep. He would die, but then he would wake again. And he would wake in the presence of God. He would wake in heaven above, and he would be satisfied when he awoke, because he would have the likeness of God. I was thinking about the refiner and purifier of silver. You remember how they heated the silver in a little furnace to melt it, and the impurities would rise and would be skillfully skimmed off. One of the ways in which the refiner of silver knew that his work was done was when he could see his own likeness in the silver, when it reflected a pure reflection of himself. It wasn't contaminated with the dross and the impurities. And I was thinking of this as I'm sure David did. He wouldn't have known the words of Paul, of course, but in substance, the way that Paul writes that when we see him, we shall be like him. We shall have his likeness. Now, David says, when I awake, as I say, I believe he was thinking of heaven here, I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Or the likeness of God. Now, heaven is that place where there will be no dissatisfaction or unsatisfaction, will there? Again, very briefly, we read, particularly in the Revelation, about heaven, don't we? There shall be no hunger there. They shall hunger no more, so they did once hunger. Neither shall they thirst any more, so they did once thirst, but not any more. There'll be no pain, no sorrow. We read, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. What a satisfaction that will be in heaven above for the child of God to awake there with the likeness of God. Now, just in conclusion, I feel we have to just think of this aspect, a slightly different one, but you know, all these blessings, all these favours that we have considered, they can only come to the soul because of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he came into this world to save sinners, that he did that by the sacrifice of himself upon the cross at Calvary, that he bore their sins, all the sins of every one of his people. It was for them that he died. Now, in that sacrifice that he made, as the wrath of God was poured out upon him, on behalf, as it were, as he suffered on behalf of his people, we read this, that beautiful, wonderful 53rd chapter of Isaiah. We read, "He, that is God the Father, shall see of the travail of his Christ's soul and shall be satisfied." God could not be satisfied with anything less than perfection, could he? And in Christ there was a perfect sacrifice made. Paul explains this. You can read it, especially in the early chapters of the Epistle to the Hebrews, how that there's no need for a repetition of the sacrifices as there was under the Old Testament law, because Christ has perfectly fulfilled all that those sacrifices illustrated. He has made one sacrifice once for all. That means all time, not all people, as some would claim. But you look at it in context, it's very clearly saying it was once to be made, once for all time, because God was satisfied with it. Could never be satisfied with those Old Testament sacrifices. They offered, yes, in obedience to God, but they offered the blood of animals. There was no salvation there. It was an illustration that Christ perfectly fulfilled that. And as God looked upon his suffering, he was satisfied. His holiness, his justice was appeased, and yet there was a reconciliation there with his mercy. There could be pardon and forgiveness, and yet God had punished sin. Oh, that's wonderfully that justice and mercy are brought together there in the work of Christ, paying the price for the sins of his people. Oh, that chapter, I'll leave you with this thought. Is this a true statement of us? May it be a great concern in our hearts. May we have this hunger and thirst, as it were, after knowing this for a truth concerning us. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And he saw the travail of his soul and was satisfied. Well, because of that satisfaction, there is this promise to those that believe in him, those that come unto him. Whatever the world cannot supply in our to our soul, there is that promise that he will supply. In the days of famine, they shall be satisfied. May God add his blessing and pardon anything amiss. Amen.
Last Lord's Day was £795, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Stephen Rosier will preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Fred Ince will preach next Lord's Day and administer the Lord's Supper after the evening service. Let us close with hymn 109. Many of us are longing to know the blessings in this hymn or to know them again. May the Lord help us to sing in hope and with the prayer, Jesus, reveal thyself to me. Hymn 109. Awake my heart, arise my tongue, prepare a tuneful voice. In God, the life of all my joys, aloud will I rejoice. Hymn 109.
pray that thou wilt satisfy us with all those good things that we have considered, that we might, in thy time, awake in thy likeness. Oh Lord, we come so very far short in all things of what we ought to be here below. And we do pray that we might be led on, that thy work might be deepened in our hearts until we know that true satisfaction. Now may the love of God the Father, the grace of Christ the Son, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with us each. Amen.